ATC is go.
Pegasus is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people.
On RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey, right over there at the Patriot Factor. It's Tuesday night, 28th of June. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. How are you today?
I'm good. Are you getting excited about the summer hiatus, vacation, destination, wedding, travel plan trip you have coming up?
Yes and no, because I'm looking forward to the destination wedding of my oldest son is getting married. However, I'm going to be worried the whole time I'm away about my pussycats. Even though I have a house sitter, I'm still going to be worried about that.
You know, there's a great joke. It take me a couple of minutes, but I'm going to tell it anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Guy's going to go on vacation. Ask his brother to come over and take care of his cat while he's gone. The guy's going to be gone for about 3 weeks.
Okay.
And his brother said, yeah, I'll come over every day and, you know, make sure the cat's got food and water and everything's fine. So the guy takes off on vacation, and about 3-4 days in, he decides to call his brother, just make sure everything's going okay. And he says, how's everything? Is my cat okay? And his brother says, no, I'm sorry, man, your cat died.
Oh.
And he says, what? He said, yeah, he said, your cat died. He said, you don't just tell a guy something like that. He said, that cat's my best friend. He said, you don't just blurt something like that. Oh, he said, you got to ease into it a little bit. You know, I call you, you say, hey, the cat got out of the house and he went up on the roof and we can't get him down. I call you back in a couple of days and you say, well, the fire department came out, but then they got called away before they could put a ladder up and the cat's still on the roof and we can't get him down. I call you about, a week into the thing and you tell me the cat jumped off the roof and you had to take him to the vet. And then the next time I called you, say the vet did everything he could, but couldn't save the cat. He said, that way I'd at least be prepared for it. And his brother says, right. His brother says, well, I'm sorry. I guess I just wasn't thinking, I apologize. His brother says, well, there's nothing that can be done about it now. But he said, how's everything else? And his brother says, well, mom's up on the roof and we can't get her down.
That's cute. But you want to know something? I've actually heard that before.
So, you got that to look forward to.
Yes. No, this is a well known and respected cat house sitter, and I'm not worried about their physical condition per se, but they're not used to being without me.
Well, and when you get back, they're going to be like, where the hell did you go?
That's true.
Oh yeah, they're going to be true.
They're going to either be jumping on me for joy, or they're going to be like, you've left us. How dare you?
You abandoned us. We're not speaking to you now.
Exactly.
Cats can do that.
I know.
Now, you've got a long drive, and I don't know. I never knew you could drive all the way to Guam, but.
Ah, okay. Guam, yeah. Okay.
Remember, if everybody gets on one side of the island, it tips over.
That's, oh, yes. Remember that congressman that said that?
Yeah. Congressman Johnson.
Yeah, we can never forget that famous line.
Hank Johnson. Yeah, what an idiot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is going to be our last show for a couple of weeks, 2.5 weeks.
July 22nd, it's a Friday, we'll be back.
Okay. All right.
It's about three weeks.
Yeah. You know, it occurs to me this will be the first time that we've been on the air, and we've been on for, what, almost 8 years?
Nine, I think.
No, I think it's eight. But this will be the first time we have not done an Independence Day special.
That's true. We've always done one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're leaving town on Independence Day, so I don't think that's going to be possible.
Well, good luck with that. Folks, we got a big, we got a big show planned for tonight. Diane, you're talking about Channeling 44.
Yes, and let's tell the people, this article has been up for about 2 weeks, but with the latest developments that have been happening very, very fast, Craig and I switched around our usual order. This article should have been done last week, but now it's going to be this week because we had it. I did the one about the masks when all that brouhaha was coming out.
Right.
And Craig, the one that he had for last week, is now postponed for another week.
Right. The one I was going to do tonight is, I don't know when that's coming out. I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
But I'll be talking about the planned liberal collapse of society. And I got to tell you, that commentary has gone like wildfire yesterday and today. So you want to stay tuned for all of that. But let's start with quick hitters. And probably the dumbest damn thing I've heard yet from the January 6th House Committee, and trust me, I've heard a lot of dumb crap from them. That House committee, I have to tell you, makes the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial seem like genius.
Yeah. The woman who testified today, this emergency hearing that they called, they weren't supposed to meet again till July. Her name is Cassidy Hutchinson. And what she did basically was lie from beginning to end. I have said all along, and you can go back in my in our shows and hear this, I've suspected all along that there have been Democrat implants, or Democrat plants, I should say. I'm very tired, folks. Democrat plants within the Trump administration and campaign. And she, for sure, I believe, is one of them, because this woman, under oath, told lie after lie after lie, and the Democrats are believing every word. They're like salivating over everything she said.
Now, one of the things that she said, and I, for the life of me, I can't figure this one out. She said that when Trump left the speech that he gave on the Mall on January 6th, he wanted to go to the Capitol. And the Secret Service wouldn't allow it. And she claims that Trump tried to grab the steering wheel of the presidential limo and steer it toward the Capitol.
Yeah. Now, remember, she wasn't there. The thing that she's claiming, she did not witness.
Well,
but she made it up, and it's presented as truth. Remember, folks, these hearings are one-sided only.
Doesn't this sound a lot to you like the impeachment trial, where they had witnesses who witnessed nothing?
Yeah, this is impeachment part 2, 3, 4, whatever. I mean, now, this is a joke.
Answer me this.
Okay.
Was Trump riding in an Uber that day, or was he in the Beast?
I think he was in the Beast.
Then how from the back of the Beast, and that's what they call the presidential limo, how from the back of the Beast could he try to grab the steering wheel?
He couldn't. That is physically impossible.
I mean, if he was riding in an Uber, sitting in the front seat with the Uber driver in like a Prius, then right. yeah, but right. not from the back of the beast.
Right. And this woman also claimed that he wanted armed people let into the rally. That's a bunch of BS. Total bunch of BS. And folks, let's not forget, the only gun that killed anybody that day was Ashley Babbitt by a Capitol Police officer.
As far as I know, not one armed citizen was, or nobody that was arrested in the Capitol was armed.
Correct. And let's not forget something else. No one arrested or charged was ever charged with insurrection. How could they be having all this nonsense when there was nobody charged with the very crime that they're supposedly prosecuting?
I know.
It makes no sense.
Well, here's something else this woman said today that I'm sorry, I just can't buy into it. She said when they got back to the White House, Trump was so mad he was throwing food.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not one
to talk. And she witnessed all this, you know, folks.
Well,
thing. This woman went around all over the place really fast, you know.
Look, according to her, Trump made her clean it up.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Now, look, I'm not one to talk, okay, or at least I shouldn't be. But does President Trump look like the guy who would waste food?
No.
Okay. I mean, I just can't imagine him throwing food. Hillary Clinton, I can imagine throwing food. She throws everything. Tantrums, hissy fits, food, drinks, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just can't imagine food being delivered to the president in the White House and him throwing it across the room. I'm sorry. I just can't. It doesn't work for me.
Well, this is very, very funny. Here it is. She's making all these allegations against Trump. And Trump came out with a statement today on Truth Social that after all this happened, she wanted to come to Florida and meet with him with a delegation of people. Just because she mm-hmm. wanted to go to Mar-a-Lago. Now, if this woman is making all these claims how bad Trump is, why did she want to go to Mar-a-Lago? This woman, and Trump called her bad news, and he's absolutely right. I really think she's a Democrat plant.
Either that, or she's a total whack job.
Maybe a little combination of both.
I mean, wouldn't be surprised, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and the worst thing about these hearings, folks, no matter what you think of them, this is a one-sided witch hunt. The other side, Trump's side, is not allowed to present anything. That's very serious. That has made a total mockery of Congress, of congressional hearings, of our rule of law. They are making him guilty without any evidence, without hearing his side.
I mean, that woman today made Amber Heard look like George Washington.
Oh, and that's pretty damn hard to do.
You know, I mean, Mark Twain once said that he was more honest than George Washington.
Okay.
Mark Twain said, George Washington could not tell a lie. He said, I can, but I won't.
Ah, okay. Good one.
Yeah.
Good one.
Well, so that January 6th thing just keeps rolling along. It's a clown show. It's a freak show.
It is. It's theater because the midterms are coming up.
Oh, yeah. And they got nothing to run on, you know.
Exactly.
Now, you know, last week, in the middle of the week, we had the Second Amendment decision by the Supreme Court. Then mm-hmm. last Friday, we had the Roe v. Wade decision from the Supreme Court. The next one coming out. Could be strike three for the liberals. It's West Virginia versus the EPA. And this thing, if it goes the way I'm hoping it goes, will have major ramifications all the way through federal government.
Yeah, not only that, it'll do away with a lot of these EPA regulations, and it'll also put a big dent in the entire climate change, you know, the weather agenda.
Well, yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. What West Virginia is suing over is a bureaucracy of unelected pencil pushers are setting parameters and policy for everybody in the United States to follow. These things are not written into law. These are alphabet agencies that are mandating to the people what is and is not allowed, what is and is not against the law, and there's no law to back it up. If the Supreme Court sees it that way, if they look at that and say, well, you can't do that, it's not just the EPA and the green energy and the EPA regulations. It's all of the alphabet agencies are going to have to quit making policy that we, the people, are forced to follow.
Yeah, and what they're doing is they're laying their cards basically on everything relating to the Clean Air Act, which they claim gives the EPA broad powers to do whatever they want. But it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Not at all.
And I think the Supreme Court is going to look at that and they go, well, you can't do that. And I'll tell you who else it's going to piss off, not just the liberals that are out there in la-la land. This is going to piss off members of Congress who do not want to deal with this stuff because they do not want their names attached to such legislation. And now, if the Supreme Court goes the way I hope they go, now it's going to force members of Congress to be on the record with their votes if they want these regulations enforced.
Yeah, and that will sit very not well with the voters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and these members of Congress, I mean, they've been running like scalded dogs away from these types of legislations for decades.
Right.
Because I don't want to put my name on something like that, you know?
Well, what's real scary, the bottom line with all this, folks, is Biden's goal is for the entire U.S. power grid to run on clean energy by 2035.
Ain't gonna happen.
We are talking clean energy, windmills, water, solar. That's never going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
This is utter ludicrousy. This whole entire nonsense is utter ludicrousy.
Well, I can tell you, over in eastern Colorado, near Sterling, Colorado, last week, a less than 1 year old wind turbine collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was no high winds, there was no storm, thing did not get hit by lightning, it just folded over.
Right.
All right. Now, the power company had to go out there and shut the power off to the turbine. Now, let me say that again and put the emphasis where it belongs. They had to shut the power off to the turbine. Because you see, wind turbines won't work unless you feed them electricity.
Electricity. That's exactly it. And that's what people don't understand. They think these windmills are going to turn just by the wind. That's not true.
You know, I mean, they've got to have power running to them. Otherwise, they don't work.
Correct. It just gets better and better in liberal land, doesn't it?
Doesn't it, though? I mean, holy crap. Well, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what the SCOTUS does with the case of West Virginia v. the EPA. and this, you know, if liberals aren't in a frenzy enough, this will push them over the edge.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
There's a matter of 50 now. The number I saw just about an hour ago, the number was up to 50. illegal aliens were found dead inside of the back of a semi-trailer earlier today.
Okay. Would you like my capsule comment on what I think about that?
Yeah, feel free.
Okay. When I wrote this, folks, there were 46 confirmed dead. Why is anyone feeling sorry for the 46 so-called migrants who died in the trailer? They were illegals being smuggled into our country. Illegals knowing well that they were breaking our laws, thus making them criminals. Illegals we now do not have to support and take care of for life. Legal immigrants, yes. Illegal immigrants, no. Close our southern border now. I put that up all over the internet except on Facebook. Because last week I was thrown off for, what was it, Craig, 19 hours?
Yeah.
Because they said something I wrote was hate speech, which it wasn't.
It's just scientific fact.
I wrote scientific fact that masks don't work, but that's, you know, hate speech, okay.
No.
It was the transgender.
It was the transgender one. Yeah, you said people can't change their DNA. And that's scientifically true.
That's very true. But that was hate speech. So I didn't want to risk this going up as hate speech also. But think about it. All the stations, including Fox, are crying over these now 50 illegals who knew they were being smuggled into this country. Hence, they knew they were breaking the law. And we're supposed to feel sorry that they died in the process of committing their criminal act?
Well,
sorry, but you don't get any sympathy from me.
I don't have any sympathy for them either, and I'll tell you something else about it. Those 50 illegal aliens did not get in the back of that truck on their own. Now, you mentioned they were being smuggled, and that's absolutely true. The fact of the matter is, guess who controls the border? It's certainly not our border control. It is the Mexican drug cartels that control the border. So all those people that were in the back of that truck had to pay the Mexican drug cartels. Now, the thing about those Mexican drug cartels is once you pay them to get you across the border, you're not done paying them.
No.
Because they demand a lot of money even after you get here. So those people were going to find some sort of job here under the radar, and then they're going to have to continue to pay the Mexican drug cartels. And so when they come smuggling in that way, that's actually a big business deal for the very same people who are funneling drugs into this country trying to kill us.
Well, it even goes further than that, because some of the drug smuggling organizations in the United States sometimes pack migrants into trucks and cargo trailers after they have already crossed the border to get them past the highway checkpoints operated by the U.S. Border Patrol. So in other words, these are criminals. Okay, they are, never mind just committing the criminal act of coming here illegally, but they're mules bringing drugs into this country. And we're supposed to care about them?
I don't.
I don't give a rat's patootie about any of them.
You know, I've got the solution to the border problem, and it will end the problem down there in 24 hours.
Okay.
You just send the U.S. military to the border with orders to shoot to kill. Anybody coming across the border, you open fire.
I agree with you 100%. Yes, you'll have some collateral damage, but the collateral damage will be minimal because once the bullets start flying, they'll hightail it back to where they came from.
How much collateral damage can you possibly have? You're aiming the guns into Mexico. You could have tens of dollars of damage.
Right. Oh, God. This is ridiculous. And the strangest thing of all is the Democrats saying that this is Trump's fault. Trump is not president. When Trump was president, our border was basically secured, the best it's been secured in decades. Biden's president, and all this is happening.
But it's Trump's fault.
But it's Trump's fault. I mean, this has got to stop, folks. I mean, yesterday there were reports out that 1 million Democrats have already switched their party to Republican. Now, what worries me about that is, did they switch their party to Republican to go in and vote Democrat when they do it? Or, again, is it going to come down to the Dominion machines being used? And remember, it's not who casts the vote that's important. It's who counts the vote.
I'll tell you, I still stand by what I've been saying all along. They're in for the shellacking of all shellackings.
I hope so more than anything. And I think in the end that will happen. But I surely hope so. I worry about who's counting the votes.
We'll see when we get there. It's only about 4.5 months away. But in the final 5 minutes we have in this segment, I got to bring this up because we're talking about people being drug mules for the cartels. There's a couple of guys out in California, a 25-year-old or 24-year-old and a 19-year-old, and they got busted carrying bags containing 150,000 fentanyl pills. Now, they got arrested. They go through this pre-trial thing, and a judge out there in la-la land let them go on their own recognizance. Now, in case you're wondering, 150,000 fentanyl pills is enough to kill almost 3 million people.
Yeah, it was $150,000 worth of fentanyl.
No, not $150,000.
I'm sorry, $750,000.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the figures right here. $750,000 worth of fentanyl from two drug traffickers.
And now they're just out there loose.
They're now out there loose. But you know, Craig, there's a very simple way to end the drug cartel business. Stop taking the drugs. Really, seriously, I have no sympathy for anyone who takes these kind of drugs. I'm not talking the ones medically in hospitals who are given some things like fentanyl. I'm not talking about those people. But anyone who is stupid enough to buy drugs off the street, in a way you kind of get what you deserve because you're that dumb.
Well, in a way, you're right, but there are kids that are taking this stuff that don't have the common sense. God gave a bug, you know.
How about the common sense not to start on drugs in the beginning?
Well,
I have no sympathy for addicts. I have zero.
I don't really either, but I'm saying, you know, kids are susceptible to all sorts of nonsense. They don't have the you know, some of these younger kids that are dying from this stuff, they don't have the wherewithal to even know what they're taking. You know,
they
now should they have the common
enough.
Sense? Yes, they should have the common sense. They should be smart enough to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I mean,
right. But,
you know, the fact of the matter is people are buying this stuff. It is killing people. We had 100,000 people die of drug overdoses in this country last year, and these two yahoos had enough of this poison on them to kill 3 million people.
Yeah. How about if we had a generation of kids who were not so easily swayed by, you know, take this, this is good, this is free stuff, we'll give you a sample, this and that. How about if the parents, from a young age, taught their kids, you don't do this?
Well, it would be nice, and I'll tell you what, I will address some of that in my segment tonight when I talk about the planned liberal collapse of society.
Right.
It all kind of comes back around, and you'll be able to, folks, you'll be able to see what we're talking about right now in that article, okay?
Yeah, I mean, it just needs a general teaching that unless you have a medical condition where you need these drugs, like people who are in constant pain, people with cancer, any number of diseases, they need the certain drugs in order to have a quality of life. I'm not talking about those people. How about instead of our children learning about drag queens and transgender, they learn about the dangers of strangers giving them pills, of ordering pills on the internet? We need a whole mind shift. Our youngest generation here, I'm not talking about the little kids, I'm talking about the late teenagers to the 20-somethings. We've got a whole generation here that is basically lost.
Well, and I agree with you. We're out of time in this segment, but I'll end this with this. Diane, you're asking people to have common sense to think men can get pregnant.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so good luck. Yeah. you know what I'm saying?
That's a good one.
You know what I'm saying? Folks, we got to take a break. We got to get out of this segment, do a little business, get a couple of station IDs in. When we come back, Diane's going to be talking about channeling 44. Stay with us. There's more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at The National Patriot, Diane Sori at The Patriot Factor. We are broadcasting live on a Tuesday night. If you miss any part of the show, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning. Click the podcast button. This show and all the rest will be right there waiting for you. All right, Diane, so you have taken on in your op-ed for this week, Channeling 44.
Yeah, and remember, folks, this was supposed to be done 2 weeks ago. Okay, it's been dubbed politi-optics by the media, but what it simply is political theater being used almost on a daily basis to try and hide what is both the failed Biden presidency and his gaffe-ridden persona. A modern-day art form has now become the hallmark signature of what is really the unconstitutional third term of the Obama presidency. And it started with the fake Oval Office set that Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, exposed via his tweeting a wide-shot photo of Biden receiving his supposed COVID booster with both reporters and media equipment clearly visible in the photo. And while the excuse given for the set being built was so that Biden could easily read teleprompted scripts for formal public addresses, the very set has morphed into the routine destination point for almost, but not all, of Biden's addresses. But beyond the stage where Biden performs, albeit his being a terrible actor, It goes deeper than the superficial to land at policy's door. Policy's controlled, orchestrated, and implemented for and by his puppet master, Barack Hussein Obama. So while Biden himself has turned America into a laughingstock, no longer truly trusted by our allies and friends alike, it's his channeling Obama's policies where the tangible damage to this country is being done. And here I'll briefly compare and contrast a few policy examples of Obama's, Craig, with those of Biden on the energy, economic, foreign policy, and most importantly, national security front.
Well, you know, all those things really do kind of tie together when you think about it, but why don't you start with the one that we were talking about just a few minutes ago in the opening segment, where we were talking about wind turbines and solar panels and all that nonsense, because I guarantee you that plays into this.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the green energy nonsense, where Biden, just like Obama, wants to eliminate much-needed fossil fuels, ranging the gamut from coal to oil to what becomes gas at the pumps. How so? Simply, Obama's failed green energy policies have now come back to haunt, with the Biden administration channeling the same basic policies just under a different and way more expensive name. An example of this can be seen when one compares Obama's green energy dealings regarding the solar energy company Solandra with that of the AOC-initiated, Biden-supported fiasco known as the Green New Deal. Now remember, back when in May 2010, Obama claimed that California-based Solandra was, quote, leading the way towards a brighter and more prosperous future, end quote, with solar panels that were both cost-efficient, effective, and kinder to the environment than were fossil fuels. Obama said these words even while knowing well that Solandra lacked the so-called financial health to pull this claim off, and also that Solandra would simply become a conduit by which he could funnel our hard-earned taxpayer dollars into his then legacy project, no matter that said funding bypassed key taxpayer protections. Also remember that it was then Vice President Biden who actually announced Solandra's receiving hundreds of millions of our taxpayer dollars to develop and bring to market said product, no matter that he, Obama, and Solandra themselves knew they could not deliver on its promises. A disaster from the get-go, where in the end, after wasting millions of dollars, Solandra not only went bankrupt and left 1,100 people without a job, but left we taxpayers obligated to pay for the $535 million in federal loans Obama gave to them. And Biden's reborn version is but Solandra on steroids, courtesy of AOC's aforementioned disastrous Green New Deal, which, if it were implemented, would basically bankrupt our nation to a tune of $93 trillion, yes, trillion dollars, and send us living as if we were in the dark ages. Much-needed fossil fuels would become but a thing of the past, as coal mines would be closed, oil drilling would now come to a screeching halt, with nuclear power plants also being shut down, leaving what were originally designated solely as adjunct energy sources, meaning wind, water, and solar energy, being all that would be left to power our nation, with blackouts and energy rationing becoming our new norm. And who would oversee this new norm but the federal government? After all, big government was and remains both Obama's and Biden's calling card. So, Craig, what Obama started with his wanting Solandra being part of his fundamental transformation of America now continues on with his pulling the strings to a Biden-sanctioned Green New Deal.
Well, you know, Solandra isn't the only financial black hole that we're talking about here. I mean, we're where money goes in and nothing comes out. You know, if you look at some of what Biden's attempting to do, isn't it just kind of a new paint job on an old pig?
Absolutely, especially while most of Obama's green energy projects, thankfully, though, resulted in failure, albeit to the tune of billions of taxpayer dollars lost, his cash for clunkers being one such failure. Now, Biden now wants to spend trillions of dollars on reinventing clunkers under the guise of battery-powered automobiles and charging stations. And so Biden, the man who signed the executive order that killed the Keystone Pipeline, now has placed even harsher restrictions on oil and gas drilling, restrictions hurting both the oil and gas industry and the adjunct jobs those industries create, knowing well that this would leave even more Americans dependent on government handouts. What better way for Biden to help carry through Obama's fundamental transformation than by making even more people dependent on the federal government for all their energy needs? Now, as for Biden's economic policies, it was President Trump who sent our economy soaring with his America First initiative encompassing the Made in America movement. Starting with his cutting back Obama's out-of-control regulations on businesses to help make it advantageous for them to bring manufacturing jobs back home, to his creating more jobs for minority groups, to his lowering unemployment numbers by his cutting taxes to where Americans could actually start to save money again, to where inflation became basically a non-issue, now sees Biden reinstating the exact same draconian economic policies of his puppet master Obama. How so? Remember, it was during Obama's first year in office when our economy was coming out of a recession and where our GDP averaged but a miserly 1.9% recession growth rate, making it the worst post recession recovery in history. And if you add in the entirety of Obama's two terms in office, his overall GDP growth rate average was but a dismal 2.75%, which is well below the 3.3 GDP growth rate, a rate seen every year since 1930, including during the Great Depression, and every year after a recession since then. And with Biden's economic policies being but a mirror image of Obama's, especially in regards to where spending money is deemed the Democrats' answer to all America's economic woes, Biden is throwing our hard-earned taxpayer dollars away on funding both woke and gender nonsense, as well as on Obama's generated and ever-so-divisive racial inequality and his faux climate change initiatives. And with Joe Biden also reinstating Obama-era business regulations, plus his raising taxes on both large and small businesses, this itself has directly led to the current rise in inflation, which is at its highest level in over 40 years. And while some low-level jobs are still being created, it's not enough to slow the rate of inflation, which started to rise when Biden, most probably on Obama's orders, ended Trump's sanctions on Russia and the Baltic gas line. Nor will the amount of jobs created increase our GDP, which, Craig, along with the stock market, is the key indicator of America's economic success or failure.
You know, the GDP has been the barometer by which you, you make your future bets when it comes to businesses. And with GDP failing as it is, as we're heading into a recession, nobody wants to take the chance. No entrepreneur right. wants to take the chance right now. But that said, really what the liberals are doing is peeing down our legs and trying to convince us it's raining, because all of this, you know, everything that you've mentioned up to this point is starting to narrow down right where it belongs on Biden and Obama. I mean, you know, it's this, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, global warming, climate change, whatever the crap is this week, you know. But does any of that do anything for job growth?
Well, let's put it this way. With Biden still on board with expanding Obamacare and his wanting to throw even more dollars at the supposed global climate crisis, dollars wasting on trying to control the weather, you can see that Biden's fundamental transformative efforts lack any meaningful initiatives for growth, major jobs creation, or for quality-based private sector entrepreneurship. In fact, Biden's economic policies to date are just another Obama update, with socialism in one form or another still being America's saving grace, or so says the progressives. Obama, loyalists, far left. Now, as for foreign policy, where Obama's apology tour both directly and indirectly led to the war in Afghanistan dragging on, to his disaster known as Benghazi, which helped lead to the rise of ISIS, his losing the war in Iraq that George W. Bush had won, the Arab Spring gone horribly wrong, coupled with his failing to come to the aid of those involved in Iran's Green Revolution, all seemed to culminate in Russia's 2014 illegal incursion into Crimea and Ukraine, where he did nothing but send blankets, all of which now has rightfully come back to haunt Joe Biden, for he was Obama's vice president when all said occurrences were in play. Simply, Joe Biden's foreign policy decisions to date, especially his Afghanistan withdrawal fiasco and his basic inactions regarding Ukraine, mimics those of Obama's, with his decisions now also detrimentally affecting our economy, our national security, as well as peace and security both here and abroad, especially with Obama's very bad Iranian nuclear deal being back on the negotiating table once again. All Joe Biden has offered us is a return to Obama's globalist-style foreign policy initiatives that see freedom being replaced by both abject terrorism and threats of nuclear war in conjunction with an endless cycle of ground wars where we no longer allow our military to fight to win. Even the fiasco at our southern border, which lays at Obama's feet, proves just that. Our southern border, where we are most vulnerable to manned invasion, where our national security now sees most at risk, sees all of Obama's disastrous policies basically still in play under Joe Biden. Remember, back when Obama, a man who loved spouting rhetoric backed up with but empty promises, said that, quote, "We're a nation state. We have borders. The idea that we can just have open borders is something that, as a practical matter, is unsustainable," end quote. Well, Craig, we all know that all his actions taken proved otherwise, for our border remained open under Obama, and now even more so under Joe Biden. In fact, Joe Biden, in expanding Obama's failed policies, has turned our border into an abject come-and-get-it free-for-all.
So what we've got here is Biden recycling Obama's green energy crap and making it even worse. We've got Biden recycling Obama's foreign policy crap and making it even worse, right? Now down at the border, we've got him recycling all of Obama's crap and making it worse. But of all those things, isn't the border the easiest one to really not mess up if you just follow the laws?
Exactly. And what it boils down to simply is that Obama's failing to enforce already on the books immigration laws, as does Biden. And he did so by finding legal loopholes that actually incentivized illegal immigration, whereas illegals and their children were released from detention after having been caught. And by allowing them to live in our country on our taxpayer dime while their immigration cases were pending, the outcome of said hearings had little to no meaning at all. And it was this policy act of Obama's that became an open invitation for even more illegals from Central America to make their way to the U.S.-Mexican border. And dare not forget that sanctuary cities expanded in numbers under both the Obama and Biden administration. But worst of all is that Joe Biden, who halted construction of the much-needed border wall, is basically doing what Obama did, turning a blind eye to the ongoing chaos and surge at the border. After all, the more that come, the more Democrat votes garnered Obama's mindset, and now Biden's as well. And so now the game of political posturing continues to be played on a set designed for a man who has no idea of what's really going on, and yet he's more than willing to dance and perform at his puppet master's whim. And he does so while both Russia and China are trying to reset a new world order that's more to their liking, a true transformation of the global governance architecture and world order, according to Chinese General Secretary Xi Jinping and Russia's Vladimir Putin, done so to challenge both U.S. power and influence on the world stage. And if the world's number two and three superpowers did succeed in said endeavor, our country, with clueless Joe Biden at the helm, is in deep trouble. So much trouble that even Obama's puppet master, George Soros, couldn't buy America's way out of it. Case closed.
You know, I get the feeling if Biden channels 44, in other words, channels Obama any further, right, Biden's going to wind up married to a dude.
Oh, but you know, as funny as that is, there's nothing funny about the situation.
And you're absolutely right, Diane. In this op-ed, which is channeling 44, and folks, you can find this. It's been up for a while, so you have to scroll down in Diane's blog. The easiest way to find it.
Just go to the op-ed section.
Yeah, go to the op-ed section. Look for the title, Channeling 44. Click the link that you find there. But you're absolutely right about this, because everything that Obama did, Trump's trying to do it too, but Biden's trying to do it too, but Biden's making it worse. You know, yes. Obama did a horrible job, all right? Biden is proving that he can do worse than Obama did.
Yeah. You know, people are comparing right now Joe Biden to Jimmy Carter and trying to say that Carter was worse. I don't think so. I think Joe Biden's got that locked up all for himself.
Well, you know, I think you're right, because Jimmy Carter at least had his wits about him.
Right.
You know, I mean, his policies sucked. I mean, mm-hmm. They were just awful. His economic policies were just freaking awful. Okay, but he really thought they would work, and they were his policies.
And I don't think Jimmy Carter was a traitor. Obama was a traitor, and Biden is a traitor through his son.
I mean, Jimmy Carter really thought his policies were going to work. Biden knows his policies aren't going to work, and he's doing it anyway because the puppet master is making him dance.
They didn't work under Obama. They're not going to work under him. Joe Biden, in a way, is a real traitor, which is a total insult to his son, who died, by the way, who was in the military. But the man has no clue whatsoever about what's going on. I mean, he's making a farce of us now, you know, at that big summit get-together that he's at.
Right, the G7.
Yeah. And then, you know, he's going to go beg the Saudis for more gas.
They're going to give him the finger.
And rightly so.
I mean, well, he called them a pariah just a few months ago.
Yeah.
You know, now he's going to go, please give us some more oil, please. And pray tell, what's the difference, aside from ruining our economy, what's the difference of getting oil from the Saudis or oil from Oklahoma when it comes to the climate, when it comes to the weather, when it comes to the earth? It doesn't matter where you get it, you're still burning it.
Not only that, though, if you get it here, you're creating jobs.
Well, you're creating jobs.
You're getting people off the government teat, basically, because they have jobs now, and the adjunct industries that go along with the oil industry. There's no need for us to have one drop of foreign oil.
We got enough oil in this country, oil and gas in this country, that we can sustain ourselves for almost 200 years.
Exactly. And by that time, 200 years from now, we'll probably all be nuclear powered anyway.
Well, 200 years from now, I'll be voting Democrat. I'll be dead long enough, I'll be voting Democrat.
Maybe I'll be frozen and come back and solve the world problems.
Well, somebody needs to.
But Joe Biden, he is a danger to this country, just like his puppet master will. Remember the famous cartoon with Obama kissing the mullah's hands and rings?
Uh-huh.
And stuff?
Uh-huh.
Well, Joe Biden is actually now kissing the feet.
Yeah. Of the thoughts. It's sick. It's
very sick. Very sick.
Folks, there's a lot of information in this op-ed that Diane put together, and it doesn't really matter that it was supposed to have been featured on the show a couple of weeks ago. This is apropos as long as Biden's in office.
Yeah. I mean, it's one faux pas. It's one foot in the mouth after another. It's cheat sheets that are clearly visible that, come on, his cover-up team can't cover this up. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And Joe, I hate to tell you this, but not everything wrong in this country, in fact, very little wrong in this country, is Putin's fault.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, if it's not Putin's fault, it's Trump's fault. Just ask Biden.
Right. Right. If he's coherent enough to understand the question at the time.
Well, and I wouldn't be surprised that he blames things being Putin's fault on Trump.
Well, of course, because remember the whole Russian dossier thing collapsed on them.
Well, but I mean, he's going to, at one point, he's going to come out and say the reason Putin is jerking us around and making inflation go higher and raising our price of gas is because Trump made him do it. He's going to blame Putin on Trump. That's how bad it's going to get.
He's going to blame Trump for Putin invading Ukraine.
I know. It's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
These people have lost their last marble.
Yeah. Joe Biden needs a skilled nursing facility. And Jill Biden, I still say, it needs to be charged with elderly abuse.
I agree. The title on this op-ed is Channeling 44. You go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Go to the op-ed button that you see up at the top. Click that. You'll find it there. Or you can go to rspradio1.com and just scroll down a little bit. You can find it there, too. Two great ways to find the article. Hang on to it, because it's not going to get any better anytime soon.
No.
You know, you can look back on this and you can say, well, Diane said it. You know?
Yes.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. All right, folks, we hit the top of the hour here. That means we got to take another short break, get a couple more station IDs in. Now, earlier in the show, we were talking about, you know, what we lack is common sense, and, you know, kids shouldn't be taking drugs and young people shouldn't be taking drugs. They should have enough intelligence to say no. Well, I'm going to kind of fill you in here in the next segment on what's happened to our society. okay? Mm-hmm. The planned liberal collapse of society. So hang on, folks. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at The National Patriot, Diane Sori at The Patriot Factor. Our last show for the next nearly 3 weeks. Gonna take a little summer vacation. Diane's got a destination wedding. She's driving all the way to Guam.
I'm not going to Guam, folks. It seems as far as Guam.
It does. It does. So, we're gonna take a little break, and we'll be back on Friday the 22nd?
July 22nd.
Yeah. So, got that to look forward to. Okay, final segment of the show tonight, the planned liberal collapse of society. Back in the 1940s, the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, there existed in our public schools something which we do not see today. It was commonplace back in those days. Many schools had a special room, usually in the basement, for the activity. The practice even extended into the 1980s in some places. Gone now the way of the 45 singles, the cassettes and 8-tracks. Gone like typewriters and movie projectors in classrooms. Gone like those old mimeograph machines that used to leave an aroma on test papers when they were freshly printed by the teacher. There are no more wooden bats on the playgrounds. And what so many schools back in the day had, what so many high school students loved back in the day, is now nearly a forgotten relic of distant memories. School gun clubs. Mm-hmm. Back in 1975, the state of New York had 80 school districts with a school gun club, but by 1984, that number had dwindled to 65. By 1999, there were only 26 left in the state, long outliving the New York State Riflery Championships by some 13 years. It wasn't just a rural thing, as New York City until 1969 had a shooting club in nearly every city high school. Back in the day of school gun clubs and state championships for riflery, school shootings were rare indeed, and those that did happen were clearly not on the scale of such terrible events we see today. Have you ever heard of the Combined Cadet Force? Probably not, unless you went to high school in England, where kids from the ages of 16 through 18 walked about on school grounds carrying SA-80s exactly like the SA-80s given to British soldiers. Diane, it really wasn't just a thing in schools in the United States. And before you ask, school shootings across the pond back in the day were just as rare as they were over here.
Well, it's very interesting because of all the brouhaha over guns. The liberals love to blame guns for any shooting that goes on. It's their excuse for everything. And by blaming them, they've also added things. It's not just the guns themselves, but they've added things to the guns.
Well,
certain zones and things.
Yeah, they're really fond of blaming guns for shooting. It's their go-to whenever a mass shooting takes place. They've made our schools gun-free zones in cities like Chicago and New York. It's become nearly impossible for law-abiding citizens to own a gun. Now, you'll notice I said law-abiding because the criminal element seems to have no problem with being the only person in a gun-free zone to be armed. They rather enjoy the power and the time a gun-free zone provides, as they know in such a zone they won't be immediately challenged and the zone is, in fact, target-rich.
Mm-hmm.
Liberals say that guns are the problem. They want to prevent you, the law-abiding citizen, from being able to purchase a gun. And they want to take the guns that law-abiding citizens already have away from them. They intend to punish the law-abiding for the actions of the criminals because they know, as well as you do, that criminals will never abide by their anti-gun laws. Teachers back in the days of school gun clubs thought nothing of having their students bring their own guns to school and then engage in safety and marksmanship activities after school on school property. Parents thought nothing of their children taking their guns to school, and those whose children were not part of the gun club did not fear for their children's lives because other kids had guns on school property. So, what changed? Guns are still guns, and they're still deadly weapons in the hands of criminals. Guns back in the days of school gun clubs did not take themselves off the shelves or out of car trunks. They didn't load themselves, point themselves, and pull their own triggers either back in the day of school gun clubs. And guess what? None of that has changed today. Guns aren't the problem. Society is the problem because, from a socialist standpoint, things have most certainly changed. But don't even start on the whole we need more religion thing, as religion has been what for many years wars have been fought over. What we do need is more common sense. I don't want to get overly quaint here, but kids used to come home from school and rifle practice and have milk and cookies while doing their homework and struggling with math problems. Today, kids come home from their gun-free indoctrination centers not knowing if they're boys or girls. They do Common Core math problems where there are no wrong answers, and they eat Tide Pods. Kids used to watch afternoon cartoons. Today, they make TikTok videos and issue tweets. Kids used to read comic books. Today, they play video games centered around war or criminal behavior. And Diane, parents used to ask their kids how school was as they sat down for dinner. But today, kids tell their parents they're stupid and wrong as they put Hot Pockets into the microwave.
Well, it's very interesting. You know, everybody loves to blame everybody else for the problem. But there is one group of people that everybody seems to ignore and who probably are the chief reason for the problem with today's children.
You know, I think you're right. I think you're talking about parents, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, gone like the gun clubs at school are single-income families. Oftentimes, parents aren't even home when the kids return from a day of indoctrination, and left to their own devices, kids oftentimes are up to no good. Gone, too, like the single-income family, are two-parent families, and that accounts for a quantum shift in our society. Two parents in the home add stability, which adds to a child's sense of well-being and self-esteem. You take that away, and children start looking for acceptance or a sense of belonging elsewhere, and that seldom ends well. Without a stable family, without parental guidance, and without a sense of self-worth or regard for others, is it any wonder that we've seen the ilk of Nicholas Cruz, Adam Lanza, Eric Harris, and Dylan Klebold, Salvador Ramos, Dylan Storm Roof, and so many more? They didn't slip through the cracks of society. They were ignored by society, and in many cases, ignored by their parents. But there's much more to it than just that. Jillian Peterson is an associate professor of criminology at Hamline University, and James Densley is a professor of criminal justice at Metro State University. The two of them did an in-depth study regarding the profiles of such mass shooters, and after speaking with those mass shooters' families, friends, teachers, coworkers, and in a handful of cases, the shooters themselves, what they found was staggering. Early childhood trauma, violence in the home, sexual assault, parental suicides, extreme bullying, all of it that leads to hopelessness, despair, isolation, self-loathing, and rejection from peers. From an early age, those who became mass shooters just didn't fit in, or at least they didn't think they did. Rather than trying harder to find their place as productive members of society, they lash out after being triggered by something. According to that study, these kids or young adults begin to ask themselves, whose fault is this? And why wouldn't they? They've been raised to believe that nothing is their fault. It's always somebody else's fault, which causes them to look outward rather than inward, and they blame society, their peers, their friends, or church for the problems they've created for themselves. From kindergarten on, kids today are indoctrinated to believe that they are special, that there's no wrong answer, failing grades in many places no longer exist, we don't keep score on the playground, and kids graduate complete with a ceremony from kindergarten and middle school. Rather than identifying problem kids the way we used to, and separating them from the rest of society based on their adverse and many times dangerous behavior, we now mainstream those kids into the general peer population. Because, Diane, thanks to liberal indoctrination, we must not offend the kid who thinks Charles Manson is their hero, who tortures and kills animals, who plays Grand Theft Auto all day, and builds bombs in their garage all night.
Well, there's something very interesting that happens when these kids develop, or I should say when these kids discover, that they're not special like they think they are.
Oh, you know, when they go off, when that kid, like you said, or young adult discovers they're not that special, that real life requires correct answers on tests, that keeping score in life matters, and that they're not entitled to the things that people earn through hard work and success, when that kid goes off, we blame the gun?
Mm-hmm.
Rare indeed is the case of a mass shooter that showed no warning signs. In way too many cases, schools, teachers, apparent friends, and all too often even the police are aware of what eventually becomes a mass shooter. But nothing is done before the tragic event takes place, and too much head-scratching and finger-pointing goes on after such an event. Nicholas Cruz, who murdered 17 people and injured 17 more at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, is a perfect example. At least 30 people knew of his behavioral issues before he opened fire in that school, and nobody did a thing to stop him. Bruce reportedly tortured and killed animals. That was reported 7 times. On 19 occasions, he was reported to have in his possession a gun, ammunition, or a knife. 8 times he was reported for making hateful statements to individuals or groups. 11 times he was reported as telling others that he desired to hurt or kill people. And there were 3 reports that he intended to shoot up his school. Police were called to his home on better than 30 occasions regarding his behavioral issues, and yet nobody did anything that would have or could have prevented him from going off. And just like clockwork, before the dust had settled and the smoke had cleared, liberals blamed the gun. Trust me, I'm only scratching the surface on Nicholas Cruz, and if you go to my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, you'll find a link embedded in this commentary where you can read a lot more about him. And when you do, ask yourself, is the gun to blame? Guns are not the problem. The problem is that when society disengages from the kids disengage from reality. And what we see today with regard to both mass shootings, like the most recent one in Uvalde, Texas, as well as on the streets in places like Chicago, are young people who have no basis in reality. They no longer fear nor respect the real-world consequences of their actions. They have no moral compass because society hasn't provided them with any sort of foundation. Young people, not all of them, but clearly far too many of them, simply cannot handle reality. We're seeing mentally damaged and mentally ill young people being mainstreamed when they should be institutionalized for their own protection as well as for the protection of the public at large. When young people are inundated with society under liberal control, making heroes out of common street thugs like Mike Brown and George Floyd, who seek instant gratification via social media infamy and feel entitled to success but are offended by having to achieve it and demand respect without having to earn it, they retreat into that world of hopelessness, despair, isolation, self-loathing, and the like. The bullying we so often hear about is not the cause of that retreat. It's the product of it. Diane, today's liberal evolution of society has ignored them, coddled them, mainstreamed them, and worries about offending the burgeoning sociopath bordering on becoming a psychopath because equity and fairness are more important than public safety. Nothing in a liberal society is the fault of the person ultimately responsible for any action, and therefore dealing with the individual becomes abhorrent to the liberal norm.
Well, you pose a very interesting question here at the end. Is the current state of our national society responsible for mass shootings? And I think the answer you give is very telling about society today.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I wrote this commentary, I had to seriously think about that question. Is the current state of our national society responsible for mass shootings? I think certainly not. But for decades, the liberal assault on societal norms has clearly played a role in normalizing, championing, mainstreaming, and excusing the behavior of mass shooters. And those shooters, not their guns, are responsible for their acts of murder. Mm-hmm. Back in the days of gun clubs in schools, 18-year-olds rushed beaches under heavy machine gun fire from the enemy to preserve our way of life and bring freedom to the world. Today, thanks to a liberal woke society, 18-year-olds don't even know which bathroom they're supposed to use.
True.
If you're pro-life, you're the bad person. If you believe that all lives matter, you're the racist. And now we're living in a society where the loudest voices pretend to be offended by everything except criminal activity. Any questions?
You know what this boils down to, Craig? In a way, society is to blame, not because of society itself, but because we have allowed civilized society to erode in order to meet a liberal woke agenda. Wokeness has overtaken common sense and hence society itself.
You know, I think back to my days in high school. I think back to my days in junior high, you know. Mm-hmm. And I can point to two books that I first read, I think, when I was in junior high. I think maybe I was in the seventh grade when I read these two books. And quite frankly, they were hard to understand at that age, but they fascinated me. And I went back and I read them again in high school. I went back and read them again in college, and I have read them. I've probably read both of these books maybe four or five times now. 1984.
Oh, yeah.
And Lord of the Flies.
Oh, yeah. Those are classics.
Because
classics,
if you
downfall of society.
If you look at 1984 and Lord of the Flies, what we're seeing in our society, our national society today, has become a combination of those two books.
It's the downfall of civilized society, but it's happening from within.
Right.
People within our own society are destroying the very society they live in.
Well, I mean, you can look at a lot of different factors, too. You can look at economics as a factor. I mean, I mentioned, you know, today you almost have to have a two-income family if you're going to get along.
Right.
You know, if you're going to pay the bills, if you're going to keep a roof over the kids' heads and be able to afford gas to take the kids to soccer practice and, you know, put food on the table and things like that. I mean, It's getting near on to impossible to do it with a one-income family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so economics plays a part in it. The simple fact that there are way too many families, and this is not a skin color issue. This works its way across the board. There are way too many families now that only have one parent. You know, in the case of most white families, it's divorce. In the case of most black families that have a one-parent family, not that most black families are one-parent, but in most cases, the one-parent black family is because there's no responsibility taken by the man who was the father of the children. And one man might have 6, 7, 8 children with 4, 5, 6 different women.
Exactly. And that's considered, in certain segments of their society, that's considered normal.
And
it's
it shouldn't
not
be
normal.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and you ask black people, you know, that have their heads screwed on straight, what one of the biggest downfalls in the black community is, and they'll tell you it's not having a two-parent family.
Yeah. Well, you know, another big downfall of black families is that too many black families have listened to the Democrats for too many years, too many decades. The Democrats are responsible for the way a great number of black people are living today.
It's
the
very
Democrats'
true.
Fault.
Well, and again, without regard to color, okay, it takes a village to raise a family.
If it takes a village to raise your family, maybe you shouldn't be having a family.
Good point. Damn good point. Okay, if you're going to raise a family, it takes a family to raise a family.
Right.
When you let the village raise the family, it's like letting 16 cooks make the soup.
Yeah, you have too many influences coming in at the same time. You're actually overloading the children. You know, children learn in incremental steps. You don't learn everything at once. You learn in incremental steps. You have too many people putting too much into a child's head. They can't process that correctly.
You're right. And there's the flip side of that coin, too. When you allow the village to raise the child, everybody else thinks somebody else is doing it, so nobody does it.
Exactly.
Then the kid has no direction at all.
Exactly. We now are seeing an entire generation of really lost children.
Yeah, it's sad.
They think men could become women, women could become men. It's perfectly fine for transgenders and drag queens to be in the classroom. Better, you know, they teach about all these 57 genders than teach reading, writing, math. You know, the basics that people need.
Yeah.
This is a lost generation here.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. And so, you know, I sat down and I got to thinking about some of this stuff and I thought, you know, society has really, really changed since I was a kid. Things that were normal when I were a kid are abhorrent now, according to the liberal society. You know, things that were abhorrent when I was a kid are now normalized by the liberal society.
The basic thing is liberal society is not conducive to common sense. It's not conducive to using your brain. It's conducive to have your hand out, have everything done for you. You are special. You can do no wrong. It's a total bizarre world that we're now living in.
Well, and go back to what we were talking about in the very first segment of the show tonight. And folks, if you missed any part of that, you want to go to rspradio1.com in the morning and click on the podcast link in there, and you can listen to the opening segment of the show. But we were talking about these two idiots out in California got busted with 150,000 fentanyl pills, and then the judge released them on their own recognizance, like they're going to go back to the courthouse.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we've got a big problem with the legal system in this country, too.
But that adds into the problem with these kids. They see that. They understand they can get away with anything. You know, you out in California, and I know in other states too, if you walk into a store and steal under $950 worth of merchandise, they won't even process you.
Well, here's a better one. In Chicago, cops can no longer chase someone running away from committing a crime.
Yeah, unless the crime is something like a murder.
Like murder,
yeah.
Right.
But if you, let's say you go
insanity.
Let's say you walk into a store and you steal 10 Rolex watches,
and you're caught, and they see you. You're on camera. You're running away. Those watches are yours.
Yep, because the cops won't chase you. They're barred from chasing you.
This is sick. Our society is basically suffering from brain damage. It's called brain damage. It's called wokeism.
Well, there's other factors involved, and we only have a minute or two left here. But, you know, you see kids wearing these virtual reality goggles and playing virtual reality games. They have no idea what reality is.
Exactly.
They don't have a clue.
As great as computers are, a lot of computers have caused a whole generation to become addicted to them.
Yeah.
And that's sad. Children forgot how to be children because society today will not allow children to be children. You have to start their liberal indoctrination early.
You know, it boils down to some really simple comparisons, too. You know, when I was a kid, my parents had to tell me to come in at night.
Right.
Today, parents have to tell their kids to get out of the house.
Yeah. Go out and get some fresh air. Stop playing the games. Yeah, it's come to that. And even when they go out, they take their phones with them.
Yeah, it's everything's upside down. Folks, it's an interesting commentary. It's gone crazy. It's being shared all over social media, and I appreciate that. If you go to thenationalpatriot.com, it's right there at the top, okay? Mm-hmm. You can get the link and share it, and I hope you do. You can also find it at rspradio1.com. You grab the link either place and share it wherever you can. you know, we're taking steps now to try and rein this liberal society in. Parents are getting involved in school board meetings. Parents are getting sick and tired of some of this indoctrination and other crap. It's a step. It's a baby step, but it's a step.
Right. You got to start somewhere.
You know, grab Diane's op-ed. Okay, go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, click the op-ed button, find Channeling 44, go to thenationalpatriot.com, and grab my commentary, The Planned Liberal Collapse of Society. Folks, that's it for us. We're wrapping this thing up for about 3 weeks, Diane.
Yes, and I should have some interesting stories when I get back.
Tales from Diane. Coming up on Friday, the 22nd
of
July.
Hey, I'm going to be, you know, my and my husband's conservative Republican selves are going to be going through some liberal areas that might not sit too well seeing me.
You've got my phone number if you need to vent, and you know it.
That's true.
All right. Diane, I think it's time for us to wrap this one up.
Yep. Nighty night, folks, and have a great July 4th, and see you in about three and a half weeks.
Have a lot of fun with the fireworks, folks, but be careful. Don't lose any fingers or burn down anybody's house. We'll see you in about 3 weeks. Good night, everybody.